to learn together a very fascinating medrash on the beginning of our parsha of Lech Lecha. Very familiar with the beginning of the parsha, Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha, go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, etc. The same idea, the same words, Lech Lecha, is used elsewhere in Avraham Avinu's life, and that's toward the end of his life. And that's by the Akedah, Perek Kaf Beis, and it happens, source 1b, after these things that God tested Avraham and said to him, Avraham, and he replied, here I am. And he said, please take your son, your only one, whom you love, Yitzchak, and go, Lech Lecha al Eretz HaMoriah, to the land of Moriah, bring him up there as an offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So here, the Medrash points out the following. The Medrash is in source number 3. Twice in the Torah, the words Lech Lecha are used here, and in connection with the Akedah, Rabbi Levi says the following. Ein anu yod'im, eze chaviva im harishona im hashnia. We do not know which of these tests was more precious in Hashem's eyes, the test of the Akedah or the test of leaving his homeland. He concludes that the Akedah must have been more significant because regarding that test, Avram was commanded to go to the land of Moriah. So that's the Medrash. So obviously there are many, many questions we have to ask on this Medrash. First of all, as Rav Schwab notes in source number 3, how could there be any doubt that the test of the Akedah was the greatest of all tests? And indeed, as the Aslam of the Torah points out in source number 2, throughout history, Jewish people as a nation have undergone both of these tests. And we know that the test of Da'al Kiddush Hashem is the greatest of all tests. Like, what is the Medrash even thinking? Taking it further, the Derash Mordechai in source 4 notes, look at the difference between the two tests. The first test, Avraham Avinu was told, Lech Lecha, as Rashi Chazal tell us, L'tovatcha l'anatcha, for your good, for your benefit. Here you can't have children, there you can't have children. There I'll make you great. What type of test is this? He's getting wonderful things. And the Akedah, oh my gosh, the Akedah, he's giving up his life's mission, where he preached against child sacrifice, and this is what he's doing. He's taking his only vestige of continuation of the Jewish people and bringing it up to God that there'll be nothing left. Yitzchak Avinu wasn't married at that point. Like, how can you compare the two? So really, our question is, on this journey's judgment, is first and foremost, what is the hava mina? What's even the thought that Rabbi Levi has that I'm going to even ask the question, well, which one is more beloved to God? I mean, like, where are you even coming from? Why would you even think that the first one was greater than the second one, was more beloved to God than the second one? We need to understand what's the thought behind this. The thought itself is going to be very indicative for us. And the second question is the way the Medrash understands that indeed the second one is more chaviv is because it says Ela Aretz Asher Areka, to the land that I'll show, to El Eretz HaMoriah. While the first one, it says, El Eretz HaShareka, to the land I'll show you, it doesn't say the land. The second one says, El Eretz HaMoriah, to the land of Moriah, to the mountain Moriah. That is the indication, that's the clincher, that the second one is more chaviv. And we have to understand the language of the Medrash. It doesn't say which one is greater, it says which one is more beloved. And that also has to be understood. So, with any type of Medrash, there are obviously many levels of understanding. Just to note two of them before we begin our study of quite a number of levels, the Torah Tzvi Rav Tzvi Kushlevsky points out, the test was whether to see Avraham's motives were L'shem Shamayim, to uproot himself and move to a new country. And Avraham passed the test. He did not have any vestige interest. He did it as Hashem commanded him. This is what's being asked here. In which test was the L'shem Shamayim aspect, the sake of heaven, which one was purer? And the Medrash comes to answer the second one. The Dushinsky Rebbe speaks about the first Nisayon is the beginning, and the Kolos Chalos Kashos, all beginnings are difficult. What is the greatness of the second one that trumps the first? It's the ability at the end to hold on to what you've started, right? Mi Aleba Ar Hashem. Who's going to go to the mountain of Hashem? But even greater is Miyakum Bimkom Kachem. Who's going to be able to stay there, to maintain that level of greatness? That's why the second is even greater, more beloved than the first. That's not like, you know, sometimes you get off to a great start and then it peters out. So, no, there's something difficult in the first one because it's the start. What's even harder about the last one, the 10th trial, is to be able to maintain that level, that pitch of connection to Hashem. Having said that, I'd like to take a look at a number of insights, four in total, that we can try to understand this Medrash, and on each level to try to gain some insight, some direction into our lives, a message for our lives. Really, all four are connected with the following idea, which is really a yesod, a fundamental principle for our lives. This is Rabbi Kluger, My Soul Desire, Volume 3, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a body and a soul. The body is essentially separate from Hashem and from other people, and is constantly preoccupied with its own personal pleasure and comfort. The soul, in contrast, is a chelek elokam imal, a part of Hashem, and its only source of pleasure is connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is true everlasting goodness. Now we know there's a push and pull, where the body's pleasures are so powerful that they override any aspect of the spiritual part of us having any voice. By nature, we tend to be more concerned with our personal enjoyment than our spiritual needs at any given moment. However, when we experience difficult times, we're inspired to seek a more internal purpose and mission in life. At such times, the soul is shaken awake, and our true inner desire to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aroused. This desire transcends all of our external tendencies and inclinations. And indeed, this is one of the major reasons why we have Nisyonos in life. These challenges in life enable us to have a reorientation in perspective and recognize that our focus has to be the Ritzon Hashem, and that that fervent desire which burns inside of us is able to have space, it's able to connect. Our personal desires surrender and join the all-consuming, powerful pull to do Hashem's will. Our deep connection with Hashem is revealed, and we are so attached to Him and become close to Him. And that's the most important thing we have in life. And that's what we have to understand. Challenges are built into our lives. And one of the major goals of the challenges is to be able to reorient ourselves while we're here and to allow that spiritual aspect of self to be able to come to the fore. Through these difficulties in 8, we discover our deep-seated connection to Hashem, which is dearer to us than all the pleasures of this world, and for which it's worthwhile to undergo all of these challenges. We reach the true and everlasting joy of experiencing Hashem's loving kindness and our deep closeness to Him. And that's how another Medrash describes Avraham Avinu. What can he be compared to? A 9? To a flask of aromatic oil sealed with a lid and placed in the corner. Its scent did not spread, but as soon as it was moved, it gave forth its fragrance. This is why Hashem shook up Avraham, Lech Lecha, so that its fragrance should spread throughout the world. When a Jew suffers unsettling changes and experiences difficulties, his special fragrance is released. The Jew's beauty and charm are revealed as he demonstrates steadfast allegiance to Hashem, loyalty so staunch, he's prepared to endure any and every difficulty and yet continue clinging tightly to Hashem. And that's why we're here in this world, and that gives us a perspective in the challenges that we're going through. With this, now let's understand level number 1. Where does the Medrash even think that the first challenge of leaving his father's house could even be compared to the Akedah? So here, what does it mean that he was told to leave his father's house? So that really is the question. If you're going to say, well, how can the two be compared? Well, you have to understand what indeed was the first challenge. So the inside story of Yanki Tauber, based on the writings of Lubavitcher Rebbe, says the following. He says, all of us have three aspects that are built into us: the natural, the impressed, and the acquired. The natural is our inborn psyche and character that comes with us as a package and that we're born. And then we have the impressed, that's the environment, the parents, the teachers, the peers. And finally, the acquired, the third and overriding influence, comes from the attainment of intellectual maturity, where man alone in God's creation has been granted objective intellect, which he can, to a great extent, choose the stimuli which he wants to be exposed. And that's the idea of lech lecha me'artzecha, artzecha, ratzon, will, desire, which is the way we are wired. Your land, and hence your land translates as your natural desires. Your birthplace is a reference to the influence of the home and society, and Beit Avicha, your father's house, refers to the maturity of man and their intellect. Now, Avraham Avinu was told to even go beyond that. And he notes here at the end of source number 10, that the intellect is never truly free of the ego and its prejudices. As much as we think that we are enlightened people and that we have gone above and beyond the base desires and the peer pressure of our youth, we're still very much connected to ourselves, we're connected to our desires, we're connected to the core of our being. And there is a higher level of man, and that's what Avraham Avinu was told to try to achieve. And a self-free, source 11, of all that defines and confines the human. This is a spark of godliness that's the core of his soul. The divine essence that God breathed into him. The Eretz that God promised to show Avraham. And this is the idea, Ela Eretz Asher Areka. What is the Eretz? The Eretz is that Ratzon, is a God's desire. It's a transcendental desire. He's told, depart from your rational self. After rejecting your negative idolatrous origins, you must now also transcend your positive and gainful past. Reach beyond yourself, however perfected it is. Human perfection is simply not enough. We must first go away. This is God's first command to the first Jew. Go away from your finite self to come to the you that only I can show you. Ela Aretz Asher Areka, to that Ratzon, to that level, Asher Eka, that I will show you, that you, the you that is one with me. And that was the Nisayon of the first, on this level, of the first challenge that Avraham Avinu have, and it indeed, it's a great Nisayon. It's so comfortable and easy to connect ourselves to self, to go beyond oneself, to do the will of God, and keep in mind, Avraham Avinu is the first Jew. We have a paradigm for it. We're taught this from a young age. But Avraham Avinu had no model for this, to be able to do what is the will of God. And in situations, not to say, well, what's comfortable for me? What do I like? But rather, what does Hashem want? That was a jump, a stretch. That indeed was a nisayon. And the Medrash is saying, we have to ask ourselves, which nisayon? This nisayon, we'll get to the Akedah, or the one of the Akedah, which one's greater? How can we think this is great? Because people by nature are connected to self, to move beyond oneself. So like, I want to wear a certain outfit, but God says, that's not sneas. So to move beyond me to the will of God, I want to say something, I want to eat something. It's all about what's comfortable for me. To move beyond that, to be able to do what is the will of God, to think in a godly way, to act in a godly way, that being able to transcend self, that indeed, and for us as well, it's a continuous nisayon. What is even a greater nisayon? What's even more beloved to Hashem than giving of ourselves to the will of God? That sounds pretty intense. So Rav Schwab, in source number 12, points out, when Avraham Avinu was told about the Akedah, he doesn't question. And even though Hashem said to him, Kibi Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, through Yitzchak you will have the continuity of the Jewish people. And now Hashem says to him, okay, Shech Yitzchak, no more continuity. He doesn't say, well, hold on, Hashem, I have a question to ask you. Remember, yesterday you told me, and now you tell me, could you be able to reconcile the two for me? I don't quite get it. He doesn't say that. He's ready to give over entirely whatever the will of Hashem is. By accepting Hashem's command, Amram Avinu had sacrificed his own mind to comply with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. While Avram attempts to understand God, nevertheless, when God's command contradicts that understanding, Avram Avinu sacrifices his mind to the will of God, just as one would forfeit his life if the halacha required it. He calls this when obviously we're encouraged in 13 to use his mind as much as possible, but when all reason fails us and we cannot go any further with any human understanding, when our mind is staggered, we must prepare to sacrifice our mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We must throw up our hands and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right, whether we understand it or not. One could call this the Akedah of the mind. So while it's great to be able to give up your desires to do the will of Hashem, and what your normal wiring is, right, your normal wiring is to get angry, and you don't get angry because Hashem says not to, that is one type of sacrifice. That is a tremendous nisayon. But what's even greater is to give up that which is most precious for us, our understanding, our intellect. And the Akedah was the Akedah of the mind, where Avraham Avinu was able to say, not only am I giving up my desire, I'm giving up that which doesn't make any sense to me. I'm giving up my entire being to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, it's not a question of greater or not. We're not making a judgment call in that way. We're asking which is worth having. That is what is beloved to Hashem, when we're able to say, Hashem, I don't understand this. It makes absolutely no sense. I don't know why you're putting me through this. I don't know why, but I accept it wholeheartedly. Tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha, to be completely whole with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first message of the Medrash, that there are two types of giving up of self, and being able to give up our understanding, and being able, albeit we have to try, as Rav Schwabier says, we have to try to understand. But when it comes to that line, and I'm able to go beyond, like forfeiting up my life, there's an akedah here. And I'm saying, Hashem, I don't understand it, but I'm ready to accept it. That's message number one that the Medrash is trying to tell us. Message number two. Source number 14. The Or Daniel, where he says, Yesh v'adam nachon l'akrava chad pami. People are faced with sometimes a one-time challenge. L'chol adam regaim behem u'muchan l'italov l'akriva t'aykar lo mikol. And those one-time challenges, we're forced to give up what's precious for us. Aval italut zu hi chad pami v'tulo. But this is one time. It happens here and there occasionally. However, yesh gam nisayom misug acher. There's another type of challenge. Who ain't no gadol can you say on a rishon? Who ain't no deresh ma'amatzi lui b'miuchat? This doesn't take the same amount of energy and the entirety of our being as the first one. Aval hu nisayon kavua. However, it is a continuous one. T'midi shadam mitmoded imo b'chol yom, that a person meets every single day. The Medrash is asking, we'll develop this now, Mir Tzashem. Which one is more chaviv to Hashem? Both of them are special, and both of them, right, are something that Hashem challenges us with. The question the Medrash asks is, which is more chaviv, which is more beloved to Hashem? The day-in, day-out struggles, or the one-time major struggles in life? Now, in asking this question, what we're coming up with is that the fact that there's a question of which one is more special means that both of them are special. The question is, which one is more special? Let's try to understand. The Chalvan, in Or Pnei Chaim, in Source 15, and this is almost word for word of the Nesivah Shalom Shlomo Rebbe. So it's really coming from both of these places, points out the following. He says, we know from the Ari HaKadosh, who says that from the time a person is created till the, from the beginning of creation till the end of time, every single person is unique. And we've discussed this at length many times. And every single person has a tafkid, has a job to do that nobody else can do. It's tailor-made for that person. In the arrow, Nimsayim came. We therefore find, each one of us is here to work on something specific. Vasiman shal yado adam yachol adam mahu matarato mayu do baolam. one of the ways that we have an inclination of what we're here to work on. If you're drawn to a certain aveira, you're drawn to a certain challenge, that's a sign that you're here to work on this particular challenge while you're here in this world. So let's say, you know, we all have different tendencies. Some people have are more prone to get angry. Some people are more prone to be jealous. Some more are prone to a certain type of taivas, to desires. If you find yourself drawn to a certain type of desire or a certain situation in life, and it's happening repeatedly over and over again, that could be an indication that this is where you need to put your work in. Like if you continuously are a jealous person, well then you're here in this world to work on your jealousy. It's very nice you're doing Taryak Mitzvahs, and that's important. But don't ignore the fact that this is the Mita that you have to work on. And this is why you came down into this world. Since we each have our own unique work to do in 16, therefore we're all wired differently. Everyone has what they need. Just like you don't put, diesel into a regular gas car because then the car is not going to go too far, right? This car is made for diesel gas. This car is made for, right? Likewise, each one of us is made for certain life situations that are tailor-made for us. And everyone's life situations, our eretz, our moledet, are all of our things that are the ingredients of our lives, the chela part of our lives. These spices are put into our lives because this is what we need in order to be able to deal with the challenges that are given to us. And hence, he says, that's why, you take a look at other people's lives, which is not recommended at all, and you say, oh my gosh, they have such an easier life. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't want a life like this. Of course you wouldn't want a life like this, and you don't want that easier life easier because it's not yours. You have exactly what's tailor-made for you to the exact point of exactly how you need to be challenged and in what way you need to be challenged. Now, in 17, V'hine yeshnam shnei sugim shel nisyonot hamalavim et adam b'meshech hayav. There are two types of challenges that accompany a person in their lifetime. Hasuga rishon himochamena yetzar tmidi. The first is, the first type of challenge, the first nisayon, the lech lecha nisayon of our parsha, is the milchamet hayetzer atmidi, milchama sheba ha'adam sarich lishbor et yitro, v'litgaber al tivo b'chol yom v'chol rega, kedei la'giyo v'lasig et shlemuto. This is a continuous fight, a continuous struggle. So which means that if you're working on jealousy, this person tells you something, and that person tells you something, and you see something. OMG, jealousy just surrounds you all day. Well, someone else, wouldn't even think twice about that comment. Oh, so-and-so got this fancy job, or so-and-so made this shinach, or, oh, that's nice, mazel tov. And this person who has a jealousy issue is sitting there saying, you just say mazel tov? Why didn't I get it? Why did my family member get it? How could this happen to them? Right? So what is... it doesn't even affect someone else. It doesn't even, hit the radar of someone else. To this person with jealousy issues, they get all triggered, they get all excited, and it's a continuous thing, because good things are happening to people all the time. And if you are a person of jealousy, then you're going to be jealous all the time, and you're continuously working on this. These are the struggles that we encounter on a continuous basis. Yom v'layla lo yishbotu, day and night, it doesn't end. Sherei ha'kol tzad v'shal nitzavim b'fanav nisyonos, wherever you go, you have these challenges that are impacting your tchunos, the taivos, haros, that overcome a person every single day. There's another type of nisayon. Kashem is the name of Adam. Nisayon chad pami gadol v'kashem b'miuchad. Suga nisyonos halalu ba'im al Adam kashem rotzim l'nosato mishamayim v'lerode godel avato v'yirato l'manei tivlo v'achari v'larbot etzcharo im yamodbo. Then the other type of challenges are those more infrequent challenges. When a person is really confronted with something major in their life, and those are not really about developing the person in terms of working on your yehud, on your on your mission in life. These are to show yourself, to bring out your love of Hashem, your awe of Hashem, your dedication to Hashem. And indeed, he points out here, very fascinating, in 19, that's why, by the Lech Lecha in our parasha, Rashi tells us it's for your benefit and for your good. The Lech Lecha in parasha Vayei, Rashi doesn't say boo about for your good and for your benefit. And he teaches the Chavan very simply, because the daily, the Lech Lecha of our parsha, daily experiences, leave your father's house, leave your inclinations, leave your temperament, leave your way you were brought up, that is for your good. That is what is going to help you become the best person you can be. The Lech Lecha of the Akedah, of the binding of Isaac, that Lech Lecha is not for your good in this world. That's for your ultimate good in the next world. So hence Rashi doesn't say for your good here, because the real aspect of the Nisyonos, those major ones, is in terms of the future, in terms of the next world. And therefore, we can now explain the Medrash in 18. V'apisayit be'er gav sekosha rabbi levi ha'muvam ha'medrash kamil chomer. Sh'shnei yitzhonot halalu sh'inaseh b'am avravinu makbilim v'domim l'shnei sugori yitzhonot shavrim ha'kol adam b'chayav k'fisha be'arnu. Rabbi Levi is putting in front of us a Ravino 10 Nisyonos. He's comparing these two Nisyonos. Why? Because these two Nisyonos really parallel these two aspects that face every person. The daily challenges and the more major challenges. HaNisayon Shebot Tzivah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Avraham Lech Lecha Ma'aretzecha, which is from who you are, your Tchunos HaNefesh, your background, v'chule, which is a continuous one, and the Nisyonos of the Akedah, which is a second type of Nisayon, which are more difficult ones that come b'peta pitom al adam, that come suddenly on a person and test a person's resolve. And here, the Medrash is asking, well, which one is more beloved to Hashem? Ha'im ha'suga rishon, ha'galum b'nisayon alichal ha'aretz Yisrael, or suga sheni? And the Medrash answers, it's the Akedah chaviv hayal kadosh baruch hu yoter. The Akedah is the one that's more beloved to Hashem. That doesn't mean that the other isn't beloved. That doesn't, by the fact that the Medrash is connecting the two, the fact that Medrash is even asking the question shows that there's a certain belovedness, there's a certain specialness in these daily Nisyonos that we find. So albeit it's those major Nisyonos, as we mentioned, that bring out to the fore who a person is. It allows a person, like a lightning bolt, to suddenly get a reorientation in life and suddenly, you know, moves a person, propels a person into a different direction. In no way does it affect, in that way it affects who a person is, in no way takes away from those small Nisyonos in life. Which means for us, we have to appreciate, as a message of this second level, we have to appreciate that these small Nisyonos in life, these continuous ones, are indeed Nisyonos. And they are beloved to Hashem, and we have to recognize them. And we have to give them a voice, and we have to give them credence. And we have to recognize that this is part and parcel of what the world is about. Again, Rabbi Kluger, my soul desire develops this. And he says in source number 20, sometimes the seemingly small stuff can be more difficult to handle than the major Nisyonos of substantial hardship and pain. When a person undergoes a serious health crisis or a painful loss, God forbid, it's clear to him that Kadosh Baruch Hu has sent him this Nisayon. He knows that now is the time to bolster his emunah. He tries to strengthen himself, and even if he stumbles, he picks himself up and tries again. His friends support him and help him. He acknowledges that he is facing a divinely orchestrated test, and he musters all the strength Hashem gives him to maintain his faith during this difficult time. In contrast, when a person is dealing with a personal challenge, something that bothers him because he's particularly sensitive or vulnerable in this area, he fights his battle alone. No one else understands what he's going through. No one is even aware that he's facing difficulty or imagine they may be in need of encouragement. Everyone's hearing about this shidduch and everyone's saying, well, Mazel Tov, it's so amazing. And this person's sitting there saying, oh my gosh, and the jealousy is overcoming you, whatever it is. No one knows about it. It's a very painful, isolating type of nisayon. At times, even the person himself does not discern he's in the thick of the nisayon that Hashem has sent him. On the contrary, he feels chagrin at the very fact that the matter is bothering him at all. He feels petty for making a big deal about something so minor and for needing encouragement altogether. But in truth, even the slightest measure of suffering is meted out by Hashem with great precision. Hashem wants you to hear about that shidduch. Hashem wants you to hear about this person getting a job. Hashem is waiting for us to turn to Him and draw closer to Him through our suffering. When we come to the realization that the pain we're feeling is a nisayon delivered to our doorstep by Kadosh Baruch Hu Himself, we can find the strength to get through it. We can overcome the offense, restrain ourselves, remain silent, forgive, and even be friendly to the offender despite the insult or embarrassment. The personal challenges we are faced with are actually our special part in revealing Hashem's glory in this world. And we have to recognize that. So by the fact that the Medrash is connecting the two together shows us that there is a value, a strength in these everyday nisyonos. And in no way should we downplay them. In no way to feel ourselves like, oh, this is so silly. I can't believe I'm experiencing this. No. Call a spade a spade. This is a nisyon. It's a lech lecha nisayon, lech lecha ma'artzacham, m'malodcham, m'beit savicha. It's that type of nisayon. You're right. It's not a nisayon of the Akedah. It's not a nisayon where a person has to, you know, really garner up all their strength. You're right. But in that, in no way, lessens the pain, the reality. And by the fact that Medrash is even asking the question, shows us that we have to give credence to these nisayonos. And I want to add just one more final idea about these minor nisyonos. 22a. It's brought down in the name of Tzaddikim that the Mashiach will tell every Jew what he went through every day of his life. Some challenges are overt and obvious. Any onlooker can recount them. Ever can appreciate the magnitude of such a challenge. But there are other nisyonos that we experience deep down where nobody can discern them. These challenges are heavy and oppressive, but nobody knows about them. Even we ourselves are often unable to appreciate the dimensions of the difficulties we are facing. Mashiach ever revealed to every Jew the hidden story of his life, everything he struggled with in his regular everyday routine without anyone knowing, how he served Hashem wholeheartedly, even at a public view. Mashiach will reveal the greatness of each small victory in these personal battles. This is a special nachas that Hashem derives from every single Jew. So, my friends, we've looked at two ideas so far on how do we understand this Medrash. Why would we even think that the first Lech Lecha would even compare to the Lech Lecha of the Akedah? Idea number one is, it's both about giving up. One is giving up self, identity, and the other is giving up your mind. But recognize that Hashem puts us in this world where the spiritual has to overcome the physical. And that's hard for us. It's hard for us to focus on the spiritual mindset, the spiritual thought. And it's hard for us to give up that which is precious for us, our identity, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even harder to give up our mind to Hashem. But both our identity and our mind are two aspects that we have to recognize have value, have the ability to compare as being difficult and as being beloved to Hashem. Idea number two that we saw is these are really two different types of nisyonos we go through in life. The daily challenges in life and the greater sudden challenges in life. The second is more chavid, more beloved to Hashem, whatever that may mean. We still haven't explained that. I'm not sure we're going to be able to fully appreciate that. But whatever that may mean, even though the second is more chaviv, both are precious. One is more chaviv, more precious, but both are precious to Hashem. And when we have this struggle, whatever issue it is, jealousy and desires and haughtiness, and I don't like listing negative characters, we know them. I don't want to give anyone any ideas. So, it's like the story of a rabbi who was teaching a business in halacha. And a fellow comes over to him and says, you know, Rabbi, I'm enjoying these classes so much. Rabbi said, really? That's nice to hear. He says, yeah. He says, I never knew how many ways you could have deception at work. But in your class, when I'm learning about what you're not allowed to do, I've come up with such great ideas that I can put into at work. So I'm not trying to give us any more negative mitos than we need to have. But we all know what our struggles are. And we all know that we often go through this very, very, very privately. And no one around us is even aware that this is a sting, it's a trigger, it's difficult for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Melech HaMashiach is going to reveal. Hashem knows. There's so much Nachat Ruach every time you have that feeling and you overcome it. And you don't respond. And you're able to go beyond. Wow. That's idea number two. Idea number three. Shem HaTov quotes the following idea. He says, D'yesh noseya shetzarich lazov ha-makom. There's some people who travel that they have to leave a certain place. V'yesh noseya shetzarich lagil ha-makom. And other people travel to go somewhere. Some people are traveling, I need to get away. I just got to go away. I don't care where I go. And some people are, I'm going somewhere. I'm directed somewhere. The lech lecha rishona, the first lech lecha was in order to leave. Right? Leave your negative environment. The second lech lecha was in order to go. Go to the Eretz Moriah. Go to the Makom HaMikdash. L'chein zo chaviva, and that's why it was more precious. The Birkas Mordechai develops this idea, Rav Hazrachi, Shlita, in Source 24. And he says, what was the nisayon of the lech lecha, the first nisayon? L'hashil me'alav in the arrow, kol pirur, nireo biltil nireo shabed arpa. Get rid of that which is seen, that which is not seen, all the different parts of you, of your past. Linatek totalit mikol muskamot o hergalei. Get rid of all the things that of your past that are connected with charan. Lakor v'lashlich chelik me'etzem ha'yishiyut. And that's really getting rid of part of himself. 75 years. Lishkoach. Forget it. Hayitachein lachriach ulaleit lishkoach. How can you tell somebody forget something? That's like superhuman. Right? You know, how often do we have we hear something and we associate back to our childhood? Well, that reminds me of a movie that I saw. It reminds me of, you know, sometimes I think of my life is like, you know, the game show Beat the Clock. Right? So we go back to, or name the tune, that tune we've spoken about here. We go back to our childhood and it could be innocuous, could not be innocuous, but we go back to that which we have as a childhood. Av Ravinu is told, according to this approach, erase, press delete on the entirety of your past. Don't look back at it. Don't, you know, draw anything from your past. Chayavim lashkiach gam gufanit gam ruchanit, physically, spiritually. How? That's a nisayon. And unless you have that dveikus b'Hashem, that connection to Hashem, it's almost impossible. It's very hard to get out of us who we are. But for Avraham Avinu in 25 to be the Av Hamon Goyim, to be the father of the future nation, he had to be that father who's starting afresh. That father who's coming from being able to uproot all of the past. And that's why Avraham Avinu isn't told where to go. He's told Ela Aretz Asher Areka, to the land I'll show you, which we've discussed many times in the past. Why? Why not tell him where to go? Because telling where to go is focusing on the future. The point here is not so much as the future as uprooting the past. It's not about where you're going as much as what you're leaving. The lech lecha, leave. Go away from where you were, uproot the past. The second lech lecha is about future-oriented. And it's interesting, he notes that there is another comparison between the two. Because Avraham Avinu is told, go to the land that I told you, to get a reward for every, I'll call deeper v'deeper, I'll call psia v'psia, every footstep you take, you'll get rewarded for, you know, going in that direction. That same idea of getting rewarded for every speech is found by this lech lecha. Take your son. Well, which son? Your beloved son. Both of them are beloved, right? Your only son, but your beloved son. He's also getting rewarded for every dibur, dibur. That Hashem in both these tiranos is like building up. What's the major difference? The major difference is here, and that's what the Medrash says, what's the trump card here? It's Ela Eretz HaMoriah. You're going to the land of Moriah. In both cases, Avraham Avinu is told to be able to disconnect from something, disconnect from his past, and in this second case, disconnect from his future. He's told to disconnect, but completely, by killing his son. That's also a disconnection. He will have no future. So in both cases, what is the parallel between both? There is something that's like cutting the cords of the past and the future. Which one is more beloved to Hashem? So says Rav Mizrachi the following. Af al pi kein, ha-shela ha-yot ha-yita eza chaviva. Mishum sha'af im zot yedu shikar nitzayon ba-keda haya ba-tzriyuta ba-etzem etzriyuta ba-krava shebedavar b'tzirus nefesh. Obviously, the second nisayon is about giving of himself totally to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's obviously a much greater type of challenge. The Medrash isn't asking which is greater. The Medrash is asking, is a chaviva, which one is more beloved? So he says, Lech lecha ze harishon asher hu gufa shel nisayon b'drakud b'naktud b'shechecha. The first nisayon is about separation. Or, the lech lecha ze sheni asher koli karohi alikra, lech lecha elamatara, lech lecha eleha nisayon. The second is moving towards something. Go to the Akedah. Go sacrifice your son. It's movement forward rather than movement away. 29. Rabbi Levi notes that it's the second one that's more beloved. Why? He says because the second one is about kmiha, chakira, halikrat. The second one is about moving towards. And that's what Hashem wants from us in our lives. The Eretz HaMoriah, go toward the land of Moriah. Go somewhere in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, there is the comparison. There is times in our lives that we have to have Sur Meirah, that we have to stay away from something. But what is more beloved to Hashem than the Sur Meirah, than the removing ourselves from the negative? It's the Aseh Tov. You're moving yourself forward to the positive. And that's what we have to understand in our lives. That we all go through on a daily, on a weekly, on a yearly basis. We all go through situations in life where we stay away from. And we all go through situations in life where we are yearning toward. You know, a perfect example of this in source number 30 is found in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gave to Ephraim and Manasseh. And we know that story of where Yaakov Avinu has the two grandchildren in front of him, and he switches his hands, and he puts his right hand on the younger son Ephraim, and the left hand on Manasseh. And the Nesiva Shalom in source number 30 explained, what's the dynamic here of the right hand, the left hand? What's the disagreement, as if, between Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov Avinu? And it's about this exact point. Manasseh represents, Ki Nashani Elohim, Hashem made me forget. And Ephraim represents, Ki Ephraini Elohim, Hashem allowed me to multiply. And this is indeed the difference. The Manasseh is the Sur Meirah. The Ephraim is the Aseh Tov. And Yosef HaTzadik is saying, the older child, the right hand, should be on the Sur Meirah, focused in on leaving evil. That has to be our primary focus. And Yaakov Avinu's response is, it's important. You need to have the Sur Meirah. But who is even greater? And Manasseh will be great, but who will be even greater? Will be Ephraim. Ephraim goes first in the Machados. Ephraim goes first in the Nasi, bringing the Korban in the Miluim. Because Ephraim, the Aseh Tov, is even more powerful. And that's what we have to realize. And the Sefer Shalom says it. Oftentimes, the way we can be Sur Meirah is through Aseh Tov. The way that we can stay away from evil is to attach ourselves to good. And this is the third idea in the two nisyonos. Both nisyonos in life, both life experiences of staying away from, move away from your negative, and move toward the positive, the Eretz of Moriah, the land of Moriah, the land of that fragrant smell, which one is more beloved? Hashem says, both are beloved. The Medrash is saying, both are special. You need the Sur Meirah, and you need the Aseh Tov. What's more beloved? If you had to choose one to focus in on life, it's El Eretz HaMoriah. It doesn't say the Akedah is more beautiful. It's more Chaviv. It's the Eretz HaMoriah. Go to the land of the spices. Go towards something. The desire to move towards something. The desire of the Aseh Tov, of the positive and the good, that trumps everything. So, my friends, we've had now three levels, and now we're up to our fourth and final level. We've learned so far, my friends, that it's beloved to Hashem to give up our desire and our mind to God. We've learned that both the challenges that are on an everyday basis, as well as the major challenges, both are beloved to Hashem. The more beloved are those challenges that just reorient our entire lives, that shake us up. The third idea, both leaving the bad and moving toward the good, both are important. Which one is more chaviv to Hashem? If you had a focus on your life, what should your life focus be? Just getting rid of all the negative or embracing the positive? Embrace the positive. The final idea is very fascinating. It's Rav Tversky, Rav Michal Tversky, Sefer Yoram HaYam. Bottom of this page, 31a. Va'peirush ha'pasha b'inyan zehu she'ein chazal medamim inyan le'inyan kefi hadrisha shemahem. We're not comparing here what Hashem expects, you know, which is a greater expectation. Shemlim so safei kol asher lei basar v'sechel ha'yishar lo lo yitein rega shivayon ben azivat aretz v'olotol l'tenat b'no yuchidu l'shchita. Obviously, no one's going to think twice and will tell you otherwise. Obviously, that keita was greater, period. That's not what the Medrash is really asking here. Ulama she'lahi l'gabei yishuotel shel Avram Avinu. Let's look at the personality of Avram Avinu in both cases. Let's see what was demanded of him in both cases, and then get a sense of how you are able to compare the two. So he says, and this is a little bit counterintuitive, so work with me here. He says, the first Nisayon was Avram Avinu was 75 years old. He, whatever age, he knew Hashem, 348, but he didn't have a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem tells him, you know, leave your house. Okay? And Hashem tells me, I do it. Now, when he then has the, many years later, the Akedah, he has developed such a deep relationship with Hashem. He's been through many Nisayonos. He's had Bris Milah. He's spoken to Hashem in many different ways. So in a certain respect, you may say that the Akedah was easier for him than the first Nisayon, because he's so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he knows him so intimately. So the first, it's a little bit hard, you know, I don't really have a relationship to do something that somebody's asking me, it's hard. But if you have such a deep relationship, so maybe the second one is a little bit easier than the first one. And he says further, The whole nature of Avraham Avinu's life. Kol megamat nafshel shel Avraham Avinu haya limsor nafsho v'lotel ato kol kulo l'Hashem yitbarach l'ritzono. Avraham Avinu's whole raison d'etre in life was to give himself to Hashem. And not for a moment did he think about anything but giving himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those moments that Hashem tested him and pushed him beyond the normal test and getting rid of his son and Sari Menu and Avimelech's house and Pharaoh's house, those were very precious moments because those were the moments that he could really show his love for Hashem. It's similar to Rabbi Akiva who said, you know, my whole life I was waiting for to die of Kiddush Hashem. There was nothing greater than Avraham Avinu than being able to give up himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'im kein, in the Dan 23, nireh achein be'ezim ha'orah ha'yavraham Avinu yachol la'arot pitulo l'shem yiparach b'chol tzvuto yoter. So now you take a look at this question of the two, and you ask yourself, well, which way could Avraham Avinu give himself more to Hashem? Which way was, you know, for him, the greatest way of showing his love to Hashem, the Lech Lecha of leaving his parents' house, or the Lech Lecha of Eretz Moriah? Well, obviously, it's the Lech Lecha of the Akedah. Imkang Ishlamar Shalach Avrinu Likrat Nisayin Akedah Samech V'Tov Leiv. Avraham Avinu must have been so happy by the Akedah. Here's his opportunity to show his love for Hashem in the greatest way possible. And therefore, now we can ask ourselves the following. Well, maybe the first Nisayon is harder than the second, because the first one, he had to, the first one, he was giving himself to Hashem, but not in the same way as the second one. The second one should have been, you know, this is his raison d'etre in life. So, therefore, the second one should have been easier than the first one, because this is what he was living for. So now we're not even quite sure which one is easier or which one is more beloved. Maybe for Avraham Avinu, the second one was more beloved to him because he was able to do what he was able to do. But then it wasn't as a greater Nisayon because this is what he wanted. So maybe the first one was a greater Nisayon because it wasn't asking of him to give as much as he could have as in the second one. So he flips this all around and he says the following. 24a, he says, when Avraham Avinu was told, go to Eretz HaMoriah, he asked himself the following question. Why do we need to go there? Why can't I just sacrifice my child right where I am? Beersheva, Hebron, wherever he may have been. So why am I going to this place? So he said to himself, I must be going to this place because this was the place where Noach built a korban. This was the place that's going to be beloved to Hashem. This is going to be the place where all this whole nation that's going to serve Hashem, this is going to be their major center of service of Hashem. At that moment, Avraham Avinu felt very longing, and he said, oh my, Hashem wants me to go to Eretz HaMoriah to give my son in order to be able to be a further example of how this place is meant to be of service of Hashem. And that's why he wants me to go there and not just kill my son here and show my love for him. And my own children aren't going to be that special nation. That is what made the Nisayon of the Akedah more chaviv. It's about the mindset of Avraham Avinu. It wasn't just about leaving your parents' home versus sacrificing your child. Clearly, that's a component. But what we're dealing with here, says Rav Tversky, is the psychic of Avraham Avinu. That when Avraham Avinu heard, go El Eretz HaMoriah, then suddenly he said, oh my own children won't be, my descendants won't be the ones, Asher Yamer, right, Bahar Hashem Yira'eh, on this day, they will be able to see Hashem. That feeling of loss, of potential loss, that desire of wanting to be that special nation, that is what made the Nisayon of the Akedah Chaviv. This is very important. It's not coming from the perspective of the Ribbono Shalom, what he's asking from us, which is more beloved. It's about Avraham Avinu's response in both cases. When he has that feeling of all I want to do is be that nation, the progenitor of that nation that's going to serve you, that was the clincher, says Rabbi Levi, that this was more chaviv, this was more beloved, because that showed Avraham Avinu's deep desire to be that nation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is what made the Nisayon of the Akedah so much harder, even though he was excited to do the will of Hashem, but it made it so much harder. And that, at the same time, is what made it so much more precious. Now, Rav Tversky then brings it into our lives, and this is what I want to just conclude with today. And he says, you know, all of us have a desire to serve Hashem. And sometimes many times we read these books of Tzaddikim, and we tell our children stories of Tzaddikim. And on the one hand, that's great. We inspire them, and we show them what you can be, v'chule, v'chule. And at the same time, it can be very depressing. Oh my gosh. You know, 3 years old, he knew Shas by heart. At 10 years old, she was feeding her the whole community food. Like, a kid reads this and says, that's very nice, but you know what? I'm 12. I'm a goner. I've lost it. You know, like, there's no hope for me. And he says, Omnam lo kein advarim. Shagam sheish toelok tola b'pniyatenu chayei tzadikim. Of course, it's important to tell these stories. At the same time, ein lanu laktin avanasenu masenu tovim. We can never downplay what we do. Ula zelzel bahem klal, and to make light of them at all. As the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in 26 points out, the only one who knows how to weigh any situation is Ribono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands how much of us is put into a situation. What are we thinking about in a situation? What does it take out of us to do this particular situation? And Be'emet, Kifi HaMadrega Shanim Siimba Ulufi HaMakom V'Azman Shebonu Chayim Yachol Liyo Gadov Atzum Or Me'enei Hashem Yisbarach. You know, two people could do the very same action, but for one person, it took everything out of them. And the other, they didn't think twice about it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge every situation differently. This is our own journey's judgment, that Hashem judges our journey, which is specific to each and every one of us. Hence, Chazal tell us, Al tihi baz l'chol adam, don't make light of any person, and that includes ourselves as well. We have to understand that something that may look small and petty and like it's not a big deal, in the eyes of Hashem, it's the most beloved thing in the world because He knows how much it took out of us. He knows how precious it was for us. He knows our thought process. And this is how we have to be so careful. And Rav Pamzal in Atar L'Melech echoes this in 27, that we have to be so careful in judging other people as well as ourselves, because we don't know the barometer of anything that happens in this world. And hence what the Medrash is really saying to us is, I have two stories of Lech Lecha, the same exact words. Well, which one is more beloved? I don't know. That is where we should begin and end the Medrash. I don't know. The only one who really knows is Ribono Shel Olam. The Medrash then ends, I'll tell you why the second one is more beloved. But the fact that we ask the question means we don't really know. We don't know the actions that we do, that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu views them. And only He really knows the struggles that we have, who we are, where we come from, how much it took out of us to be able to accomplish what we've accomplished. And we have to be able to give ourselves that slack in judging our own journey and saying, oh, what have I accomplished? And who am I? And what is life all about anyway? Whoa! For some people, getting up in the morning, that's major, major sacrifice. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that. For others, it may be davening. For others, it may be doing a chesed. We have to understand the fact that Medrash asks this question, that each one of us goes through our struggles. And these struggles are beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And while these stories of tzaddikim can and should inspire us, they shouldn't depress us. And what we should gain is, what they've accomplished, who they are, we need to accomplish who we are. And therefore, my friends, what we've seen, some very, very beautiful ideas today, well, every day we have beautiful ideas, is on our journey's judgment, we have to recognize that by Avraham Avinu, we ask the question, we see that it's about giving up our desires and giving up our mind. It's about the daily challenges and the major challenges that we have in life. Is it about where I've come from, or is it about where I'm going? And finally, it's about the very mindset that a person has, the very calculation a person has, that Avraham Avinu felt, El Eretz Moriah, I'm going to lose this, that desire of that pain of losing this, that's what trumped it. That we have to understand that all of our feelings and all of who we are go into every one of these nisyonos, and none of us can make a judgment about ourselves or about others. Only the Ribono Shel Olam knows that we're trying our best, we're doing what we can, and with that we should all be able to have a journey filled with that which is chaviv, that which is beloved to Hashem in each and every step of our journeys.